Hi, I'm Roy Spencer of PermaSeal. For over 45 years, we've helped over 500,000 homeowners make their homes drier, healthier, and more valuable. Our warranties are transferable and estimates are free. Call 800-421-SEAL or visit permaseal.net.
Karen Conti, of course. Karen, hello. How are you?
Good morning, John. Nice to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you, too. I often talk to your law partner, Patrick Dolan, on my show, Let's Get Legal, on the weekends. Karen, I need you to settle this for me once and for all. I've always said that you could beat Patrick Dolan in an arm wrestling contest. Do you think that's true?
I absolutely think that's true. And why do you think I'm the first named partner and not the second?
Karen, and that's well deserved. So you do a lot of great work. You know a lot of great things about all things law. And this is kind of a question that was percolating over the weekend as we saw the bombings of Iran. You know, I think people kind of struggle with this. Who has the power to execute war? What does war even mean, right? Obviously, the president is the commander in chief. The Constitution lays out that Congress declares war and kind of leaves us in a nebulous state for these in-between campaigns. Walk us through this a little bit.
Well, it's very blurry, and you're absolutely right. The Constitution says the sole authority to declare war is Congress, but just striking Iran, is that a declaration of war? My guess is that the Trump administration would argue no. There's also a law that was passed called the War Powers Resolution. It was in the 70s, and it was in response to Vietnam. And as you remember, we got into Vietnam, and people in the country really rallied and said, we don't want to get into this kind of thing again. So there's a law, but again, the presidents after that was passed on both sides of the aisle violated that, really, if you really look at. I mean, even President Clinton bombed Yugoslavia mm-hmm. during the Serbia crisis there, and he didn't get any authority from Congress. So I think that what we have here is, in practice, the president can issue these strikes and there's not going to be any ramification. But technically, is that declaring war?
Right.
It's all just a big question.
And then there's the power of the purse that Congress has, right? I mean, if you're going to have extended campaigns like, say, what we had with Afghanistan for basically 20 years, Congress has to authorize the payments. So, you know, is a one-day strike, you know, within the purview of the president as part of normal defensive operations? Probably. But if there was an extended campaign, he might have to go to Congress and ask for money. And then you get kind of a backdoor authorization. I mean, it really is an interesting little donut hole in our legal area of foreign relations.
Yeah, but it was clear, if you really look back to the, literally, George Washington, it was very clear that the founders wanted Congress to deliberate about it before it would happen. But again, as a practical matter, sometimes these things have an urgent sense to them. You know, on the other hand, you know, were we attacked and did we attack back? I think there are a lot of constitutional scholars that would say war would be, you know, something that if we had to attack back, that might be something urgent and may not be something that needs prior, authorization. But mm-hmm. again, there's really no good answer here.
For sure. The heat is broken a little bit, but it will return. How much do landlords have to legally provide either air conditioning or some means to cooler airs? Because this story has been coming up seemingly every single year, of course.
Yeah, interestingly, in Chicago and in Illinois, there is no law that says that a landlord has to provide air conditioning. However, if the building has more than 100 units, so we're talking about a pretty big building, they do have to provide a common area that's air conditioned that people can go to. So that's really not a whole lot. That's not a whole lot of obligation. However, if you do rent an apartment that has air conditioning and the air conditioning goes down, the question is, can I withhold rent? What can I do? What are my remedies? And, you know, that's always a perilous thing. First thing I would always say is make it in writing to your landlord. My air conditioning is not working. Can you fix it, you know, by the end of the day? And at that point, if it's so unlivable that you can't stay there, then I would say hire somebody to fix it if you can, and then withhold the rent and see if the landlord will go along with it. But there is no hard and fast rule about when they have to accept that.
What about employers, employees? A lot of people have to work outside during the heat, too. Are there protections for them?
You know, there are very few. OSHA is probably the catch-all, right? That's the federal law on safe workplaces, and they don't provide certain degrees and temperatures and rules that are hard and fast, but they basically say you have to be careful. You know, you've got to give them water. You've got to give people a rest, especially when they're acclimating at the very beginning of the summer to these kinds of things. Illinois has tried to pass a law that would authorize our state Department of Labor to put in parameters, like if it's over 80, you need these breaks, et cetera. I think eventually the government will do that, but we don't have that in place right now.
All right. Karen Conti, Conti and Dolan, and of course here Sundays 3 to 5 p.m. Karen, as always, great to chat with you. Talk soon, okay?
Take care, John.